Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Hey, I want to tell you about The Lab. If you haven't heard, it is wellness. Anywhere you go, you could listen to it like a podcast. They're basically live Zoom classes, but you could listen to them on a run, or you could turn the camera on and engage with them. We have a thriving community of like-minded people trying to live better lives, and it's been amazing. Not only do we have the foundational classes like codependency and trauma and relationships and all that, but we also have a lot of fun classes because it's so hard to make friends as adults, right? So we have tarot card readings, we have soul shower, we have astrology readings. We're turning wellness into a lifestyle. We're also going to run a retreat soon. So come and hang out with us. Come ride with us. Go to the website to get into the lab and then go download the app. We have a brand new app out with tons of audio. I'm going to give you a discount code. And this is for a limited time. So if you're listening to this, you can join the lab for only $20. It's like a drop-in fee. For 3 months, it's $20 a month. Go to tatlab.app. That's tatlab.app. And the discount code is LIVEBETTER. It's case sensitive, so all lowercase, one word, LIVEBETTER. And I will see you in the lab. Okay, brace yourself because this episode may be a little bit longer than 10 minutes because this do is one of my favorites out of the 66 do's and don'ts in my new book, I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck, a meaningful guide, a man's guide, and every man's guide to a meaningful life. I'm sorry. Listen, I know it's my own book and I should know this shit, especially the title. Here's the thing, that's a long title. I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck, comma, and every man's guide to a meaningful life. All right. Anyway, this one is number 36 and it's Do Love Hard. So I've been talking about loving hard for a very long time. And a lot of it comes from my own experiences, my own love learnings, and also helping people with their relationships over the last decade, thousands of people, and just pulling out themes. And I think generally, overall, we love soft, and I'm including myself in that, and it's not that, you know, when I say love soft, I'm not saying that we're not putting effort into it. I'm saying we're not leaning into our resistance, right? A lot of times when we love when it feels comfortable, and when there's discomfort or resistance, when we actually have to take ownership or look inward, we kind of drop the ball. That's when we run, right? And so that's what I mean by loving soft. And also, if you do that, you're also going to love in an unhealthy way. So it's not just when I say love soft, I'm not saying that you're not, you know, putting all your heart into it. That's not what I mean. Anyway, I, like you, have never gone to love school because it doesn't exist, and it should. They should be teaching you this shit in high school, right? So we could avoid a lot of heartbreak and pain and unhealthy patterns. I never knew what healthy or unhealthy love was. I mean, I would just meet someone, and if I had the hots for them, do people say that these days? The hots? You have the hots for someone? then it's suddenly a relationship, and I've been in many in my life, right? I've been married for 5 years, dated for many years, like, you know, had 3-year relationships, a couple 2-year relationships, a few month relationships. And I've experienced, I feel like I've experienced like everything, you know. I feel like I've experienced codependency. I feel like I've experienced healthy love. I feel like I've experienced infatuation. Like I feel like I've experienced a big spectrum, right, of love. And I think I've learned a lot. Here's the thing. Okay, I want to start with this. First, love is not a feeling. I believe love is an action. Therefore, we must not look at love as like something that is given, but something that we earn, that we hone, that we practice, learn from, work at. I like this idea that loving someone is a practice, right? I think people think that just because they feel something and they go put actions behind those feelings, that that's what love looks like. And usually that's not, because sometimes those feelings, although powerful, aren't coming from a healthy place. And your actions are going to line up with that, and you're going to be doing behavior and acting in a way that isn't healthy. So here's a question. Why do we, and I'm going to say especially men, because this book was written for men, and also a lot of the men that I've experienced, not only in coaching, but also personally with friends, etc. Why is it that we have no trouble putting in extra time at the gym, work, overtime, office, right? When it comes to things like our cars and toys, our hobbies, we have no problem putting in extra time. But when it comes to love, we don't usually work on it, right? Unless we have to. And I always feel like, imagine the kind of love that we would experience, and how many marriages could be saved, how many children would grow up with healthier definitions of love, if we, and when I say we, yes, I'm including everyone, but I'm talking more so to men, we put more time and effort into loving someone as we do with our careers and our bodies, you know, and whatever we spend most of our time and energy in. So that's the thing is, if you're going to love, love hard. And let's talk about what healthy love is and what unhealthy love is. So by loving hard, I mean a daily offering, you know. I think loving is a gift. It does have conditions that shape the self and strengthen the other. I think healthy love is feeling powerful and independent. I always say it's grilled cheese and soup on a rainy day, but not every day. Healthy love is patient. It's practicing kindness and accepting. It's trying to understand before trying to be understood. Healthy love requires a tremendous amount of responsibility. You know, when we think about love, we don't usually think about responsibility, right? We think about hot sex and connection and all that beauty. But healthy love requires responsibility, you know? If you're going to invest in someone, there's a responsibility to that, which involves communication on all levels. So it's not just verbal communication, but it's also the subtext, right? Being able to read body language and what someone's really trying to say. Question, what is interfering with your happiness? Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, I want to tell you about BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assist you in your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. If you struggle with depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, anger, grief, self-esteem, check out BetterHelp. And here's what I'm going to do for you today, because I want you to start living a happier life, a more meaningful life. I want you to get up in the morning and feel like you are living, not just existing. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/angry. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/angry. Healthy love is about holding a healthy, safe space. I talk a lot about holding safe spaces, well, partly because I'm a therapist, but I think that's the soil for everything. And if you can't give someone a safe space, that container, your relationship's cracked, because if someone doesn't feel safe, they're not going to be able to trust you or practice vulnerability, right? And if you don't practice vulnerability, you're not showing yourself. The way that we connect, the way that trust is built, is by being vulnerable, is by showing yourself. It's by doing life with someone, not around. So healthy love is about building trust. It's about being vulnerable. It's about providing a safe space, creating spaces by not making it about you. Right, part of making a space safe is to make it about the other person as well. Having faith and holding a commitment. Healthy love promotes growth and two strong containers. This reminds me of the image that I saw 10 years ago. I think it was in a yogurt ad. And it was two elderly people in separate bathtubs. I think they were like at the Grand Canyon looking down at the world. And they were facing in the same direction. And I saw it and I was thinking, this is what healthy love looks like, right? They're not in a jacuzzi. They're and what they were connected by their hands. So they were sitting in these bathtubs or laying in these bathtubs, and they were only connected by holding hands. And I thought it just looked really healthy. And I liked the fact that they were they're probably in their 80s, and I love the fact that they've, you know, done life together, come a long way, and now they're like, they have, you know, sitting up at the Grand Canyon with this spectacular view. It looked really peaceful. And they're still in these separate containers, these bathtubs. And I think a lot of people, their definition of love would be, you know, a hot young couple inside a jacuzzi and not facing in the same direction, but facing each other, right? And I get how romantic that is, or hot, but it's also, to me, that feels very unhealthy. And I say that because I, when I was married, I was definitely codependent. There was a lot of enmeshment. I thought love meant you sacrifice everything, including your yourself, you know, for the other person, you know. And I got that partly just being Korean, coming from, you know, Korean culture. And or maybe it's not a Korean thing. Maybe it's just, you know, my dad. You know, there was no sense of an independent whole being. It was basically, we're all in this together. We all go down together, or we thrive together. That's kind of how my dad approached family and love. And so I think partly it was from those distorted definitions. And maybe partly just my own self, my own wiring, my own, you know, filling my own holes, you know, codependency. Part of it is about feeling a lack in yourself and wanting to lose yourself in someone else, because then you find that you are more valuable, right? And I think that we do that because it feels good, and I think we do that because it also makes love then very romantic, and there's a lot of movie magic behind that. You know, The Notebook and other movies that kind of portray this idea that love means that you lose yourself in someone else. And so a combination of all that, you know, cultural, my dad's also an alcoholic. So, you know, me being an adult child of an alcoholic, and of course, you could throw a quarter and hit an addict. So chances are you are also an adult child of some kind of addict. And, with that comes a lack of tools. With that comes a very slippery position to fall into codependency. Speaking of codependency, let's just talk about unhealthy love real quick. Unhealthy love is being powerless, selfish, and enabling. It has no boundaries. Unhealthy love is contingent. It's immature, irresponsible, and dependent. Unhealthy love is urgent, right? I remember when I was married, I was like, you know, if something bothered me, we had to talk about that right now. Almost like, it's like the parent coming into the school and dragging the kid out of school. That was basically me demanding to be loved, right? Like, if there was something wrong, we need to, you know, everything stops until this is settled, kind of thing. And of course, that's low awareness and very, very selfish. There's desperation behind it that produces manipulation and compromise of self. Unhealthy love is a pissing contest, a tug of war, a mute silence, a kickstand. And by kickstand, I mean you guys are not only like supporting and encouraging and leaning on each other, but you're just, you know, you're dependent, right? This dependency, right? You're going to fall if the person's not there. Unhealthy love promotes the false self and stunts growth. It is a drug. So when I say love hard, I'm saying love in a healthy way, love as a practice, love where you are looking inward. The thing about relationships is there's you, there is the other person, and then there is the relationship. And the relationship is its own living, breathing thing. And when two people love hard, right, love in a healthy way, they create something greater than themselves. They create something greater than the parts, and that relationship is like this own thing that's beautiful, and that's going to carry both people, and you know, withstand the turbulence, etc. If you have people loving soft or in an unhealthy way, the thing that they are creating that's bigger than themselves can slowly bring them down, right? It could be a greater force that starts to drown people. So you're going to eventually create a relationship that is greater than you, that's going to promote and lift and make two people thrive, right? Or you're going to create something that's greater than you, that's going to be shackles on your ankle and bring you down and drown you. Most people that end up getting coaching by me end up calling me because they have created something greater than themselves that actually drowns them. And that is because they are loving soft and in an unhealthy way. To love hard, you have to acquire tools, create a sense of self, right? You have to go on your self-betterment journey. It's not just about reading a book or deciding. I mean, that can be the beginning, but it is a practice. It's a daily practice, and it's not easy, right? So do love hard. I think that boys love soft. I think that men love hard. If you like that do, there are many more do's and don'ts in my new book. I encourage you to pick it up. It is the accumulation of my last 10 years of my life, everything from my divorce to my rebirth to my, you know, own therapy to coaching thousands on and offline and all of that. So yeah, it means a lot to me. It's a huge part of my story. And and the flag that I'm waving with, I think that it's such a great time to start having these conversations. So if anything, pick it up. If you think it's great, buy one for a friend. And thank you for listening. Speaking of love, guys, I have a relationship audio course, and it's the same tone as this, super casual. I talk to you like I'm sitting in front of you at a coffee shop. It's called Bulletproof Your Relationship, and let me give you a discount code before I leave. It's GIVE, all caps, G-I-V-E, slashes the audio course to make it half off. It's like the price of a sandwich. And it's like 9 hours worth of audio. So many of people who are a fan of this podcast has also picked that up and have emailed me, and then it's been really helpful. So if you have it, please continue and finish it. Also, let me know what you think of it. If you don't have it, pick it up. I guarantee you it will help you in some way. Love harder. Listen, if you are great at helping other people and you have a passion for that and you want to find personal freedom and level up the skills you already have, it's time to become a life coach. Journey Coaching. When I became a coach, there was nothing like this out there. And so I developed this coaching training program alongside Noel Cordo, Journey Coaching. That's J-R-N-I. And it is amazing. It's 100% live. It's everything that I wish I had when I was starting out. Meaningful, evidence-based education, real people, real community, lifetime support and business development, ICF certified. Just go to theangrytherapist.com, my website, and click on Become a Coach and explore the Journey Coaching Intensive. See you in class.